This is the Cubs-related podcast. Tonight is Sunday, April 23rd. The Cubs win another series in Cincinnati, doing so by hitting much better than previous series. Although today's loss to Bronson Arroyo stung a little bit, especially because he was throwing 82 miles per hour on average, which is like my JV average velocity that I face. So that one was a little frustrating, but nevertheless, everyone performed well. Rizzo performed great. Bullpen, for the most part, looked good. With me is Corey. Corey, what do you have for us?
Well, I think that played out about, you know, just as everybody expected, right? Cubs were going to lose to old man Bronson Arroyo. It's what we all thought was going to happen, right? Yeah, a strange one today, and I think we'll get into it, but I kind of felt this way part of the way through last year. I think you'll remember me mouthing off about this, but I'm pretty sick of John Lackey, I got to be honest with you. Not like he's the worst pitcher in the world thing, not even really from like a statistical standpoint. I just don't enjoy the days he pitches. He bothers me. Like as a fan watching the game, I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm kind of over it.
Well, I mean, just this year alone, like last year I was fine because he performed, I mean, basically at league average levels, but yeah. I don't know. I can see how people would get rubbed off by Lackey, especially because he has that attitude where, you know, if you miss one pitch, it's as if the world is ending. So I can see how that rubs people the wrong way.
Well, it's just like, I guess I'm just getting, and I saw some people saying this online today, but I guess I'm just getting kind of tired of the act like that we saw today. You know, he misses one spot, he's yelling at the umpire, and then he's throwing meatballs down the middle that are getting ripped, and it's everybody else's fault but his. It's like I hate the umpires as much as the next guy. We could do a whole separate podcast. This is the We Hate Umpires podcast. But, you know, it's just like it feels like that's just kind of been his MO this year. Like start complaining and then just get lit by whoever they're playing. And, you know, it's everybody else's fault. And I don't know. He's fine. And I said this when we recorded last time, like you're basically going to get exactly what you think and pretty much are hoping for from him, I think. You know, he's going to be like a league average or slightly above whatever pitcher, give you innings.
I don't
provide
even know anymore, though. Like now,
I mean, we're kind of trending the wrong direction, but so I guess that's what I'm hoping. But just from a fan perspective, I'm just kind of getting annoyed with it. And you all know from listening that I am very much pro pitchers getting angry on the mound, right? Like, yes. John Lester staring angrily at the umpire is one of my favorite things in baseball. So it's not like specifically that. It's just John Lester isn't then serving up, you know, like 92 mile an hour fastballs down the middle that are just getting ripped and ripped and ripped by every team they face. So yeah. And there was the thing, you know, his like veiled comment at we went through this, Brendan. I'm sorry. Is it Thames?
Thames? Thames, correct.
Thames, yes. On the Brewers. Eric Thames. You know, he made that veiled comment about him being on steroids. And it's like, well, the dude's taking you out to, you know, Waveland and Sheffield, man. Like,
Bosio part of that, too? Didn't Bosio suggest that?
Bosio made some like loose comment about it. I don't know. I didn't really hear, so I didn't. But again, though, Bosio's not going on the mound and getting touched up by the Reds. So, you know, I think it's kind of fair. But anyway, we should be careful. Like, God forbid John Lackey listen to this podcast.
Totally.
If I turn up dead, everyone, you guys know who it was. So,
But in all seriousness, though, scowling aside and his whole demeanor, he really has looked like, you know, pretty bad in addition to just serving the ball up frequently. I mean, I think there's genuine concern about his velocity and even his command. Although his K per nine is up this year compared to last year, I mean, we're talking about a 3 mile per hour dip in velocity. And in my opinion, I know some have suggested that the Cubs are kind of grooming their pitchers for October by not pushing them that hard in April, which maybe that is indeed what's going on. But as we said last week, I have a hard time believing that Bosio or Madden can actually get through to Lackey and say, hey, throw 3 miles per hour slower in your starts. That doesn't, John Lackey taking it down a notch does not fit in one sentence. Doesn't even make sense, especially on a contract year for him. So I don't even know what to make of it. We talked about it when we said, who are we most concerned about? And we didn't know what to make of these velocity readings and whatnot, but
right.
Just some of these pitches, and I don't like what I'm seeing so far. But overall, let's talk about the Red series, and then we'll get into what we want to look for in the upcoming series and weeks, in particular with Baez, Almora, Jay, and Zobrist, highlighting those guys, and then we'll get into it. But in terms of the actual Red series, besides Lackey, I feel pretty good coming away. The sweep would have been nice, but the at-bats I saw were really encouraging.
Yeah, and just good to see a series where we're not specifically, dreading what the offense is doing. Obviously, they, and today is just a weird one. I think that they knew what Arroyo would be bringing, and they went up with an aggressive approach trying to jump on it, and they just, didn't really get to him. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It just, I think they tried to be aggressive out of the gate. They didn't get to him, and, the game moved along. I think the game today was 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was way too fast.
So, it is what it is. And I did think it was kind of funny that they were threatening against Iglesias there in the ninth, because I'm pretty sure he's the only decent pitcher on that entire team.
Yeah.
So it was funny that, they couldn't really do much on Arroyo. But then when the actual good pitcher on the Reds comes in, they were finally making some noise. But I feel like, that's how it goes. They can't hit 84. The guy comes in throwing 97, and all of a sudden it's a lot easier. So,
and to the Cubs defense, Arroyo, although he was throwing, wiffle balls up there, he was hitting his location for the most part, and he was getting some very favorable calls, especially on some of those Schwarber at bats.
Yeah, I mean, and when you can tell that Schwarber, Schwarbs is just he's almost rolling his eyes. Well, and I think in some of the games earlier this week, we were seeing him kind of mouthing off a little bit or shaking his head. Today, just looking over at Joe in the dugout, what do you want? What am I supposed to do here? Come on, man. Yeah. There was one in one of those at bats. You almost have to just laugh at it. It's so ridiculous.
It was the second at bat. I think it's the first pitch of the second at bat. Let's go look back at it. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. But. Yeah, I think a lot, I think we've been trying to, especially in the early going here, trying to pick out the encouraging bits. And I think that, tough to not point to the weekend that Jason Hayward had.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Two home runs in back-to-back days for Jason. We're still seeing some of the, him putting the ball in play and beating them out, or, getting, having the fielder have to make a tough play that he can get on with. I think it's very encouraging. I mean, he had some pretty wonky numbers coming into this series. I think his batting average was 315, but his OPS was in the 670s or something. So, those home runs will help that, but it's pretty encouraging. I mean, he's putting some good swings on the ball. He's hitting the ball hard. And, I think I said this after the first weekend or whatever, but you can still be nitpicking his swing. You can still be nitpicking whatever you want, but he's still going to do the defense. He's still going to do the base running. And the longer they can get these numbers out of him, it doesn't really matter how he's doing it. He's just being a valuable player. And, just very encouraging. I mean, to see him hitting those home runs was very encouraging.
Yeah, and not only were they just homers, but, I mean, at least the first one was, I think, 434 feet.
Yeah.
And then the second one traveled well over 400 feet again. But the quality of the at-bats look like they're there. And, I mean, two homers. And we didn't see this for a while last year.
No, I think it was like early June. I think people were saying it was his second home run last year.
Yeah, but even Rizzo, we always say this, but he is, I think, the most underappreciated Cub, at least over the last 5 years. Again, his entire line after today's game, he's batting .299, and he has three homers. But his walk rate is 12.3%, his K rate is 13.6%, and overall, again, he has a WOBA of 400 and a WRC plus of 153. I mean, he's doing it again, year in and year out. Rizzo is just looking stable, which is always good to see, especially whenever you see Rizzo slump, you can definitely tell when he's pressing, and it hurts the team. I mean, just go back to the NLDS and early NLCS of last year and the effect it had. I mean, the Cubs couldn't hit at all, partially because the middle of the guy was just not, you know, performing well. So if Rizzo continues to do this, which he's going to do, this team's going to hit. And I think we saw a perfect example of that series when he launches three homers. They put up 12 runs yesterday. They have an incredible comeback in the first game of the series, which again is something we should probably get into, but I can't be more happy with the way Rizzo has played. And even Bryant, even though he's off to a little bit of a slow start, but from what I'm seeing, like, the at-bats still look pretty good. And he had a nice line drive down the left field line today, I believe, and he just looks good. But anyone else that year that especially stood out? I mean, we can talk about Wilson Contreras. He had a great series as well.
Yeah, coming off, we talked about him earlier in the week, just, you know, wanting to see him be a little, you know, have a little bit better approach at the plate. You know, and there's nothing like a grand slam to make us eat some crow a little bit. Although, you know, not really eating crow, a better approach leads to that. But no, I think, again, you know, just nice to see the team putting up some runs. And, you know, it's just one of those things. It really does sound cliche, I think, at this point, but you cannot count this team out until the game is over. They're way too good. And, you know, a different swing from Montero in that at bat today. And we might be talking about a sweep. You know, if he doesn't ground into that double play, it really did feel like they were about to do it again.
Yeah.
So it's very encouraging, because I think the pitching will, you know, it was not great this weekend, but I think it'll settle down a bit as we go forward. Again, not really sure what to expect from Lackey going forward, but I think we'll get better outings from Anderson than we saw his last outing. Lester, you know, even in a rare, like, not great outing on Friday, gives up, what, four runs or whatever it is. So, you know, certainly not a big deal there. And I think we've talked about Arrieta a lot on here, and, you know, still liking what I'm seeing there. You know, I think on Saturday he makes a mistake to Votto, I believe.
Yeah, yes? Votto.
Yeah, so, you know, join the club on that one.
His velocity and looked like it was back to
respectable range. You know, and we still, I at least off the top of my head, I know it's only a few starts, but I still don't think we've seen any starts like we were seeing for the majority of last year, you know, where you're kind of like, I don't think he knows where any of these pitches are going, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially when that happened around this time last year, early May, where Arrieta looked like he was about to implode. And like you said, you had no idea if he even knew where the pitches were going. And so he looks to be well under control, especially, I think, even more so than the playoffs last year. So I'll take the velocity drop. But the fact that his velocity was pushing 94, it was like 93.5 on average.
Yeah.
Really good. So that's a plus.
Yeah, so, I mean, overall, the series looks a little weird this weekend. But, you know, I think they're just settling in. And I think soon enough we'll get everything on, you know, because the early portion of the season, I think, was, you know, characterized by the offense not necessarily getting going yet and the Cubs finding ways to win games regardless. And, you know, obviously this weekend the pitching wasn't so great, the starting pitching.
Have we had any, like, legitimate traditional series yet? I feel like every series the Cubs are playing is odd. Like even that first.
I don't think so. Yeah, it feels like they just haven't gotten it all together, and you know that's kind of where I was going with that is that it feels like we're very close to them getting it all together, the pitching being there, the relief pitching being there, and you know getting back to scoring 4 or 5 runs a game, you know, or more ideally. And, you know, so hopefully we can get that going here against Pittsburgh. But,
yeah,
you know, again, though, 2-3, 2-3, 2-3. That's how you do it. I made a promise to say it every time we record this, and I'm just going to keep doing it. It really doesn't matter how you do it, especially in a bad division. And, you know, a team that you just got to get to the playoffs. That's what we're trying to do here. You get to the playoffs, and that's when everything needs to be firing on all cylinders. Until then, I don't care how they win the games. I just care that they do it. So
Yeah. Whether
they took 2 out of 3 and beat Arroyo throwing 84 or didn't, it doesn't really matter what matter. And, you know, I know that John Lackey after the game said he's not happy winning series. He's pissed about his performance. He's pissed about losing today. I don't agree with him. I'm very happy to win the series and move on. We have plenty of games and plenty of months to address the individual issues as they come. But right now, it's about racking up those wins and trying to put distance between you and the teams threatening to put you in that wild card game. That's really all I care about right now. So for me, I'm all for it, and you know we'll move on to Pittsburgh and try to do it again.
I have a trivia question for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm probably going to get it wrong, but go ahead.
We'll see. I don't know if it's even trivia, the classical sense of trivia, but if you had to name list where the Cubs might be in the WRC plus rankings, what would you say? At least in the National League. So out of the 15 teams, where do you think the Cubs rank?
First, for the benefit of anyone that doesn't know what that is, can you explain?
WRC plus. Okay, it's a linear run value metric, and the way they do this is by evaluating what a single, double, triple, homer, etc., is worth, and then they scale it to basically more or less between 80 to like 150. So 100 is league average, and anything above 100 is good. Anything below 100 is bad. So based on that, based on what you've seen and kind of how the league has shaped up through now we're entering our fourth week, where do you think the Cubs rank with WRC plus?
In the NL?
In the NL.
I don't know. I'd guess somewhere near the middle, 6, 7.
So would you be surprised if I told you third? I mean, I'm kind of surprised looking at it right now.
I guess not.
No?
No, I not really. I guess not.
I feel like it's kind of odd because, I mean,
yeah, I mean, they just
the best start. And
yeah, and they've just... You know, again, we kind of like you were just saying, it's been a kind of weird start to the season where we've seen some games where the offense really struggles. We've seen some games where they, you know, blow the cover off the ball. And I think some of these games, too, like, are, you know, they almost like kind of skew your perception of how the game was, you know, because like even these games the other two nights, you know, you're kind of waiting for them to break through, like, are they going to lose to the Reds or the Brewers earlier in the week? And you're kind of waiting for it. And then they end up scoring, like, 5 or 6 runs, you know, by the end of the game. It's just kind of a weird way that we get there. So, no, I guess it doesn't surprise me. But, yeah, that's good. That bodes well.
The Brewers are basically right there with the Cubs. The Cubs' WRC plus is 106, and then the Brewers is 104, so they're essentially neck and neck. And I mean, the Brewers partially it's because of Thames, because he's just going off. But I think it's just been a weird start to the year. I don't know. I was looking at even Wilson Contreras' numbers today, and it shocked me that his WOBA was like 340. It doesn't seem like he's doing that well. Here he is as one of the best offensive catchers this year, which is odd to me because I feel like every time I watch him, takeaway that Saturday night, I feel like he's, or Saturday morning, I feel like he's just been god awful. So that's a good sign, I guess, that they were surprised at the Cubs, which we think they're not playing their best, is still this type of performance.
Quite good.
Yeah. Like really good. Yeah. So it's only going to get better from here on out. And if Hayward keeps doing this, my God.
Well, and yeah, and you know, I think that's why early on in the year we were on the, you know, no panic, no real concern team, because, you know, this is kind of how it is. Even if the Cubs aren't playing their best, they're still better than pretty much everyone. Yeah. So as long as they're putting these guys on the field, they stand a pretty good chance to win the games. And if they do put it together, they'll, you know, do what they did last year and go on a lot of really successful runs and rack up the wins. And yeah, like you said, it's frightening to consider if Hayward can keep up this pace. And I know there was a good stat floating around. I want to say from either Michael or Brett, one of the guys over at Bleacher Nation, but pointing out that Hayward's contact rate is, I think, in like the high 90s. I think he struck out like a handful of times.
Yeah, it's the zone contact is, before yesterday, it was above 95%.
Right, which is amazing because, you know, even, and this is kind of what we talked about throughout his whole process of, you know, changing his swing and doing all the work that he's doing, is it's just a matter of like 10, 15, 20 more balls finding a hole or getting through, you know, even like that broken bat single that he has in the game today. And that's all it takes to drive these numbers up to push him to a player that's, you know, very much worth the salary he's getting paid and a very positive contributor to this offense. So if he can cut down on those strikeouts, you know, again, and whether the batted ball profile has gotten a lot better as we've gone through the season. I know I kind of expressed discontent with that after the first weekend. But you know, look, the results are improving. I think, again, whether you want to nitpick the physical elements of the swing still or anything like that is up to you. But
it's still a work in process, too.
Yeah, for sure. But we are seeing better results. He's hitting more balls on a line. He obviously got two balls out this weekend, which is on a much better pace than we saw last year. And, you know, just hitting the ball better. I think if you're watching the games, I think I'd be surprised if you came away with a different conclusion than that. So it's very encouraging, and it will make things a lot easier on this team and this offense if that's not something they have to worry about going forward.
Well, that too. I think one of the contact rates aside, even though it's still extremely encouraging, he always has been a pretty good contact hitter. But the one stat, Corey, that pops out to me is the amount of runs that he's producing on two-seam fastballs, which is one of the more heavier fastballs that pitchers use. And last year, it was to his detriment. I mean, pitchers were just jamming him with those two-seam fastballs, and he couldn't get his hands around the ball, which resulted in those weak groundouts that you always saw. So last year, he created his weighted two-seam run production was negative 2.24. It's one of the worst in the league, okay? And this year, it's 13.1. So he went from negative 2.24 to 13.1. That's a dramatic, dramatic, dramatic improvement. And the year prior to the year he joined the Cubs, with the Cardinals, it was 1.8. And so some of the success that he had with the Cardinals, and even dating back to his days with the Braves, where he was always in the positives, was because he could hit the two-seam fastball and those sinkers. When he came to the Cubs, he couldn't do that. That was one of his weaknesses. And it seems like, at least for the short term, we'll see how it continues, he's making slow improvements. And for me, one of the areas that I want to see him improve is lifting the ball. It's a little bit more. The grounders are still a little bit high for me. And that's contributing to an expected weighted on base average that's less than the league average, even though he has produced more runs than league average. Anyway, I want to see him lift the ball more, basically, and I think we're going to continue to see that. I'm surprised that he's been able to be this successful this early. I was fully expecting an April from Hayward where he just looked god-awful. Like, that was my expectation, and I thought maybe by May and April, by May and June, he would get his swing down and get it together. But overall, I'm pretty pleased. Now, on the other hand, Baez has looked pretty bad, but I've seen some weird takes that suggest Baez should be benched. I can't get behind that idea. I mean, if you have that idea, you got to really reevaluate your thought process here and what you want out of Baez in the future. Because to me, Corey, if you want to promote the development of Javi Baez, you need to play him through his struggles, and it's not going to hurt the team. Why? Because his glove is so valuable.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to be patient with these young guys. And I know that they were a topic of, you know, our concern, not concern game the other day. And, you know, it's fair to be frustrated with, you know, the results you're getting at the plate from some of these guys and the approach overall. But that's a different thing than calling for them to be benched or sent down or this, that, or the other. The only way that this gets fixed is by doing it. That's just sort of how this works. And I would point to Javi last year develops into the player that he is now and that he was in the playoffs and winning the NLCS MVP and all that other stuff by getting out there. That's yeah. how he developed that swagger. That's how he developed, you know, the quick tags and all that other stuff. These weren't new skills to him, but it takes a second to apply them at the major league level, to get comfortable with your surroundings, to get comfortable, you know, doing your thing out there. And that's just what it's going to take, you know. This is still, even for Javi, who has his, you know, debut game in 2014, this is the first time, really, he's getting regular playing time in the regular season. You know, even last year, it didn't happen till late in the year that he was, you know, getting in there so much. You know, and obviously in the playoffs, it turned into, you know, he's starting every day and whatever. But, you know, so you got to give these guys room to grow. You know, this is still relatively new for them. And, you know, this is especially as it relates to the bat, this is something that Javi's been dealing with since he was, you know, drafted. This is a constant adjustment and battle for him. And again, the only way for him to do it is by playing. Like, that's the only way, you know, and I think I mentioned this to you, it's similar, you know, to when Schwarber first came up, you know, they didn't play him as much against lefties. They wondered if he could hit lefties. He struggled against lefties. How do you get him to hit lefties, Brendan? You know, you gotta let him,
Corey, right?
Yeah, right. You gotta let him see lefties. And the Cubs are in a position where they can afford some growing pains from these guys. And, you know, again, like, you're going to get at bats. And I think Elmora had one late in the game today too, where, you know, you're just not thrilled with the approach and you wish that it would, you know, grow up a little bit and be a little more professional or thinking towards, you know, what the team situation is in that moment. The only way it's going to happen is by us, you know, by them doing it and learning from it and us, you know, gritting our teeth and bearing it, because yeah. that's how these guys are going to learn. You know, that's why these guys spend so much time in the minors in the first place, you know, because there's a lot to learn. They're all very talented, but there's a lot to learn and there's a lot to go through. So,
well, going forward, Zobrist has not been off to the best start, and that's an entirely different topic for another day. But going forward, we have Elmora, who's playing exceptional, and even John Jay in his limited playing time is playing pretty well. So we have these four guys who, with crossover and position, it's kind of hard to find consistent playing time for these four guys. And these tend to have a way to work itself out in terms of whether Zobrist plays against a certain matchup or they rest him more. But going forward, despite Baez's struggles, do you want to change any of his playing time? Let's say, do you take away a little bit of Baez's playing time? That way you can get Almora in the lineup a little bit more. What I mean by that is you essentially put Hayward to right field. He brings Zobrist into second base, thereby opening the spot for Almora. So with that said, would you like to see that? Or basically what we've seen up until this point with Baez's playing time, just keep it the way it is?
Yeah, it's an interesting spot that they're in. And Hayward having these results, I think, only makes it more complicated because, you know, at this point you're playing him every day. And until anything changes, I don't think you're really even thinking about it much at this point. I don't really know. I think I've been okay with what they've been doing so far. I don't think I've really had much of a problem. It is tough, you know, because kind of along what we were just talking about, you do want to see some of these guys in there maybe more often to work on this stuff and develop and you know, kind of, you know, trial by fire type of thing. But yeah. I think looking at the way that they've done it so far, especially I think it was the early part of this weekend that Zobrist was out with back stiffness or soreness or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I really have an issue with what they're doing. I think, you know, Jay has been a nice addition to play on days like today when they want a lefty in there. Yeah, I think we're all inclined to want Baez and Almora out there a lot, just, you know, for their defense. And it's a lot of fun when Almora's blasting home runs. I'm not really sure if there was one thing I could say that I wish they were doing differently. You know, I think that Joe has been doing a pretty good job of getting everybody as much playing time as they can, you know, and you want to be maximizing matchups. You want to make sure that even if you want Javi to get, you know, a better approach at the plate or look better against right-handed pitching, you know, you can't, you know, you don't want to throw him in there every day against that, you know. I don't know if you have a thought on that, but I can't really think of any particular game or situation where I'm really clamoring for a different set of guys out there.
Well, I think you kind of have to keep the game plan as is, even though Almora is playing much better than Baez. The goal for these guys isn't to necessarily put the best lineup out there every day. I know that sounds weird. Of course they want to, you know, put the best lineup out there, but at the same time, they're in a position where having this depth is a luxury, and being able to put out Javi, even though he's struggling because of that glove, is good. And likewise, if there will be a time this year when Almora is struggling, and his glove out there will be beneficial as well. I tended to believe that Madden would put these guys in favorable positions based on the pitching matchups. And for example, Almora isn't the best hitter against guys who have cutters and sliders, and Baez tends to be a little bit better based on last year's numbers in terms of how many runs he put up against those pitches. So I figured, okay, maybe if we have a righty that throws heavy sliders, we'll see Baez at second base and Almora on the bench. And on the other hand, if we see a pitcher who is a better changeup guy, then maybe Baez would be on the bench. So you can see scenarios in which this all fits together. So sure. I don't see it changing, and I don't think, unless we get late into the year, like August and September, in preparation for October, I don't see any of the roles changing, and I don't even think that these types of roles will sort itself out until late September, even October. I was shocked that Baez got basically every single gate at second base in the playoffs, because we barely saw that last year. He was, for the most part, playing third base with Bryant in the outfield. So predicting where these guys go ultimately is very challenging. So just keep the status quo. I would like to rest Zobrist a little bit more, especially with these back issues. And I'd like to see Amora get favorable matchups, as with Baez and John Jay's kind of there just to be a safety net. So I look, the way Matt is managing the games right now in terms of playing time, I couldn't be happier with. Some of the early bullpen decisions were kind of odd to me, but nevertheless, again, he's feeling things out with his team, and overall, I'm pretty pleased. And so, Cora, we have the Pirates next. We just got swept by the Pirates, and they'll be facing a Starling Marte-less team. Anything in particular that you're looking forward to, or any notes of which we should be paying attention?
Well, I think we'd all like a better result than the last time.
Maybe one. So, not yeah. Too much.
Yeah, so we will have, starting tomorrow, all of these games at 6:05 Central Time, in coming to you live from Pittsburgh. We'll have Brett Anderson and Chad Call. I'm going to guess on that pronunciation.
I think that's correct.
Kyle Hendricks and Garrett. The Cubs are not the best team in the MLB. Cole. And we'll finish off with Big Bad John Lester and Tyler Glasnow.
The one takeaway has to be Hendricks, right? If we had to pick one.
Yeah, player. I mean, I think that's really where we're looking. I think we are all... I think for the most part, you know, a lot has been made about the velos and stuff like that, and I'm really not concerned about anybody other than Hendricks right now. You know, again, we talked about Lackey a little bit, and yeah, we're, you know, not going to stay on that forever. We'll see how that shakes out, but as an older veteran guy, you kind of just have to see what he's bringing, and we'll just evaluate as it comes. Hendricks, though, is an interesting thing, and we don't really know if we should be concerned yet, or what if this is deliberate or anything like that. So yeah, I think all eyes will be on that. Again, we talked last time. I'm not hoping he's throwing 85 again. My first thing to look at is, if you're throwing 85, like, is there the separation of the velos between the pitches? And if this is what he's working with, then we gotta see better results, you know. So I don't know that anything else, again, you know, hoping for a better result than the last time we played Pittsburgh. I'd like to see Brett Anderson have a better outing, but, you know, again, in a similar vein to Lackey, you kind of just have to take that with each start. You kind of just see what you get.
You're not going to see Anderson in October anyway.
He's gonna have outings where he doesn't look very good. He's gonna have outings where he gets a lot of ground balls and looks very good. So, you know, I don't think there's anything really to write home about. As long as he's healthy, he's gonna do his thing, and you know, you get what you get. But yeah, I think the main thing we're looking at here is Hendricks still throwing slow? Can he locate better? Because, you know, that's certainly been a problem. To start the year, leaving a lot of balls up, a lot of balls catching way too much of the plate, getting taken out for home runs, and you know, we'll see what he's working with. So other than that, anything for you?
No, Hendricks is it. I really want to see that velocity go back up. I want to see him keep the ball down. I would like to see Russell continue what he's been doing. He leads the Cubs in plate discipline numbers, such as swinging at balls outside the strike zone. He's the best, even better than Zobrist, and his contact is way above the league average of, right now, I think it's around 80%. So I want to see that continue. We're so close from a relatively stable sample size, and I just want to get on that and write about it soon. So I want to see that continue. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday.